Good morning. Please be seated. My name is Ron Decker, and I'm the duty elder for today. If you are a visitor with us today, please sign the guest book at the back of the church so the minister can contact you. I'm reminded that the women's coffee hour is this week on Thursday the 16th at 10:30. And then one final announcement, which indicates that summer's coming. For Camp Kintail, if you have a child or grandchildren who will be attending Camp Kintail this year, please contact, notify Renata or Gordon so that we can budget accordingly. That's all the announcements that I have.
Take a moment now to prepare our hearts for worship. Christ was baptized on this particular Sunday, and we're talking about it quite a bit today. He is therefore the light in the world and light in our worship service
this very day.
The call to worship is printed in your bulletin. In the beginning, at creation, the Spirit hovered over the waters of the deep. God caused the waters to part so that Israel could cross from slavery to liberation. Jesus taught us how to live by washing his disciples' feet in water. Today, we celebrate the baptism of Jesus the Christ. Our opening hymn this morning is hymn number 174.
Please be seated. If you're not looking at your bulletin at the moment, I'd like you to take a look at it. Because I want to explain something that we do on a regular basis. If you haven't noticed before, our bulletin is broken up, as far as the order of service goes, into four sections. And they're capitalized, bolded, and underlined, so you can tell the difference. The first part is we gather in God. And then down at the bottom of that first page, we hear the Word of God. And then over the page, we respond in faith. And then we go forth in God. This is the time in which we are gathering before God. And part of that gathering point is this moment that we stop for prayer of adoration and we confess the things that we stumbled upon in this past week. And then we follow that with the Lord's Prayer. And this is wrapping up this particular section. We do this consciously for a reason from Sunday to Sunday. It's not just the way we do things. There's been some thought put into this process over the years that we've been working on this. Even lighting the Christ candle at the beginning is a symbol of that presence of the flame of God's Holy Spirit in our midst. And I'm pointing this out because I think from week to week we come here on Sundays and we don't necessarily think about the individual elements and then the overall sort of flow of what's happening in our service. This time that we gather together, especially in this time of adoration and confession and Lord's Prayer, is a gathering of God's people. All week, we've been pretty much on our own. We've had little gatherings here and there, maybe that we've gone to, or a meeting or a family get-together. But this particular point in the week is when we gather as God's people, that corporate element, and that word corporate maybe is overused in the current culture that we're in, but we're corporately here. That means all of us together. We are here together as God's people, thanking God at this particular prayer and coming as God's people to think about the moments in which we stumbled in our journey. So we're thinking about it on two fronts. One is individually, but the other is as a group. If we read through Scripture and with this particular lens on, we see that especially in the Old Testament, does God deal with an individual. When we read Psalms, for instance, it's always talking about the people of God. This is the time for us as God's people to gather, to be thankful, and to be repentant. So, as we move forward into this last part of this first section, we want to come before God as God's people and unite our hearts. And it's like the last thing that we do in our service is pray for others. And just before we sing our last hymn, we pray for others as God's people. This is the time for this. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you that we can gather as your people. We thank you that we are blessed to be where we are this very day in this church, in this city, in this province, in this country, to be able to come before you and think about that wondrous love you have for us that allows us to sit together as your people and for a moment pause. Wow, Lord, thank you for all the things that have been going on in my life. Yes, there's struggles and yes, there's ups and downs, but we have so much that you bless us with. This is the Sunday, Lord, in which we are thinking about the baptism of Jesus. In fact, the real true beginning of his active ministry. We thank you for that ministry because it's his work on this earth 2,000 years ago that makes it possible for us to gather as your people. You've called each one of us through our own baptisms and our own acts of faith, led us on a particular journey and led this congregation on a particular journey. And that's amazing, Lord. But we also come before you corporately. We come before you, Lord, as your people to reflect on the moments in which we have stumbled, the moments in which we pursued the darkness rather than the light. And each one of us can sit here as individuals and think of moments when that's happened. But united this morning as we are, we come before you as your people, asking for forgiveness for those moments in which we stepped aside from you, and asking as well, Lord, that you teach us and put in our hearts a spark for repentance. Because it's not enough just to keep just saying, I'm sorry. We need to be changing our ways. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, by the blood of Jesus, we are able to do that. So forgive us, Lord, for the moments in which we sought something other than your way. Because anything other than your way is sinful. And understanding what it is to be in following your way, Lord, can be very difficult, especially in this gray world in which we live, where it seems like the black and whites are getting muddled all the time. Help us to love. Help us to be loved. And help us to express love actively and in real practical ways. In those moments in which we haven't done that, Lord, again, forgive us and call us to repentance to change our ways. Lord, we thank you for this moment that we can gather as your people. And Lord, we also now gather as your people and in unison say this prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. People of God, the promise of God through Jesus Christ is that our sins are forgiven. And God promised us to give us everlasting life and pour that everlasting love out in our midst. Thanks be to God. Join together now in our next hymn and in the beginning of our next section in our order of service. Lord, the light of your love is shining, number 376. And during the second verse, we'll have the children come forward for a time together. 376. Please be seated. Hi, guys. How you doing? Can I sit in here? Can I sit here? I guess I have some pictures I want to show you. But I want to tell you, first of all, about scripture that we're going to be reading today. It's about Jesus getting baptized. And when he got baptized in the river, because he got baptized in the river in this particular story, there was a voice that came. It was God speaking from up above, and it said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." Fancy words. Basically, God said, "This is my son. I love him very much." Cool words. Look at this. You guys have to wait. Look at that, eh? You know who that is? Any ideas? You know who it is. You know who that is? That's my granddaughter, in whom I'm very well pleased. Yeah, there's some more pictures of my granddaughter. Look at that, eh? And that's my daughter holding her. Wait, there's one of me. There's one. There I am. Got to see me. There, that's me and Mrs. McCanch holding my granddaughter. And we're very well pleased. You can tell because we've taken time this morning to show you all these lovely, there's a good one. See, that's me again. Me. And I'm very well pleased. I look pleased, don't I? I look like I'm talking, actually. There, that's better. I'm smiling in that one. There you go. I'll just show you this little one. You can just, yeah, she's very well pleased. That's because God was very much, he loved and was very proud of Jesus as his son. And he started out his ministry, as we think about it, on this particular Sunday, when John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, baptized him in the River Jordan. And then at the very end, at the other side of things, after the Easter event had taken place and Jesus was taken up into heaven, that same voice came about. It said, "This is my son." And God said, "You better listen to him. You better follow him." Because not only did he love him, but he thought he had something very important for us to believe and understand. And that's why we're here today at church and why you're going off to Sunday school. So that you can learn about this person, this Jesus, who God loved very, very, very much as a special person and loves you and I just the same way. Did you know that God loves you? Yeah, he does. He loves you very much. You're very special to him, all of you. Well, let's have a little prayer and think about that, okay? And then we'll head off to Sunday school. Lord, thank you for these boys and girls because we're very well pleased in them too. We thank you for each of their lives and the Sunday school lessons and the teaching that they're getting from Michelle and others. Bless them, Lord. And let us be truly well-pleased and very much proud and loving of each one of them. And we are, Lord. So help them in their Sunday school class today and help them to understand what it is that Jesus has done for us and that he too is very well-pleased in all of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing the last verse of our hymn, "Remain Seated," as the boys and girls head off to Sunday school and I try to get up off the floor. As we proceed through this section of our order of service and where we hear the Word of God, we're now actually going to actually hear the Word of God as written in Scripture. And before we do that, one of the things that I do on a regular basis, but I really enjoy doing as well, is inviting the Spirit of God to open our hearts and our minds and gain some understanding of really these words as they're printed in Scripture. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, as these words of Scripture are read, we pray that it can be kind of like that heaven opening up above Jesus for us in our own experiences, that we can see your Spirit descending on us like a dove that can open up true meaning and true connection for these words. And that's kind of the center part of this, Lord, that we can connect to these words that you have for us in your scripture today. So help us to focus and listen and engage and by the power of God's Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our responsive psalm, found in the Psalters in your pews, is Psalm 29. And Psalm 29 uses the word ascribe quite a bit, and we see that through different psalms and whatnot. And just as a reference point here, ascribe is a big word for making sure that we put whatever we're going to be saying, ascribing it or giving it credit to God. So we're crediting God with all these things, that God is the cause and the source of all that's going to be read today. This psalm is talking about God's power and glory. It's kind of in three different little sections that are going on, but it's talking about this imagery of thunder and power. And I guess we've all been out, you know, around when there's been a really big thunderstorm. And I was just recounting for somebody this week. I remember when we first came here, Donna and I, and going down at Christmas time to see the lights down at the lake. And that particular evening that we went, it was January, because the lights was just after Christmas. Getting out of the car in the dark, thinking, "Wow, that thunder is really loud, but it's January. You don't normally get thunder." It was the waves crashing against the breakwater wall down in Burlington. It was that loud, and everything was covered in ice, and it just added to this whole majesty of you know, really for us, God's presence. And wow, this is quite neat. So we're ascribing that natural power, that natural essence to God Himself. So we read now Psalm 29 responsively.
Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings.
Ascribe to the Lord, glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord, the glorious name.
Worship the Lord in the holy splendor.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars.
The Lord breaks the cedars.
The Lord makes Lebanon to skip like a calf. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood.
The Lord sits enthroned over the sovereign power.
O Lord, give strength to your people.
O Lord, bless your people with peace.
Our Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 42. That's page 670 in the Old Testament part of your pew Bibles. And this is a relatively well-known reading. It's taking part in this section in Isaiah that's referring specifically to the Babylonian exile. But we know, and Jews also believe, that this is referencing to the Messiah, and we as Christians connect that directly to Jesus. It's talking about Jesus and his ministry that he will have and the freedom that we will receive through him. Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 9. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and outstretched them, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and the spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor praise to my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Our New Testament reading is taken from the book of Acts. It's page 129 in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles. And this is a sermon, if you like, that Peter is giving to a large gathering in the storyline that's taking place. There's Cornelius, I believe it is, has converted into the Christian faith. And then this is all part of this particular story where Peter is speaking to them and telling them the story, if you like, of Jesus. A story that is important as we're talking with the baptism of Jesus today. Acts 10, beginning at verse 34. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And our gospel reading is this account of Jesus' baptism, and it's found in Matthew, this particular reading from Matthew 3, and it's on page 3, and again in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles. And it is this story of the dove appearing and coming down from heaven and God speaking those words that I shared with the boys and girls. Matthew 3, beginning at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. This is the Word of God. Join together now in our next hymn, He Leadeth Me, number 650. Please be seated. Let's bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Lord, as we move forward into this new year and into the new sort of topics that we run into in this particular time between Christmas and Easter, there's lots going on and lots in the church life that's going on. And equally, there's a lot going on in each of our lives individually. And sometimes on Sunday morning, it's hard to come together and focus for a moment on listening for your word to us. And so we pray that right now, that we can calm our souls, calm our spirits, calm our minds, and listen for you. Listen for you to, like that dove, descend down on our midst and teach us this morning. And so, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my mind will be uplifting and acceptable before you and your people this morning. And we pray this in the name, the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You know, the Gospels, all four of the Gospels, tell us almost nothing about the training or education, that early part. So we have the sort of in some detail the story of Jesus' birth. We have an account later on of the wise men coming. We have an account of one or two episodes when he was a bit younger. And then suddenly we're up to this point where he's being baptized. And he's aged 30, 33, something 30 anyway, give or take. There's a gap. There's a little bit, like I say, about his childhood in Luke, but as soon as we're hearing about the preaching of John the Baptist, it just jumps all like from that to all of a sudden we're into like what we read today. Now, just to reconnect the dots a little bit for us, John was a relative of Jesus, as we've said to the children this morning. He was a prophet who preached that the Messiah, and the Messiah being the anointed one who would save God's people, was going to appear. That's how we are introduced to the whole character of John. John called people to change their lives and to get ready for God's Savior to appear among them. And a fine point, I suppose, and something that took me a long time to connect, is that baptism is taking place in this particular account. Clearly, that's what's happening with Jesus. And so baptism is something that's a very old tradition that takes place and literally predates the Christian church as we understand it. John is calling people to change their ways. He's taking them down to the River Jordan, and he's fully immersing them to a rebirth, exactly what we talk about with baptism. Crowds of people were coming to the River Jordan to hear John talk. Now, to give context to John a little bit, there hasn't been a prophet for hundreds and hundreds of years. And the people were looking for a prophet, especially in the instances that they found themselves, to be speaking and to be talking about repentance and coming back to God, because they saw this as a need in their lives. And here comes John, and he does that. So people were coming in throngs to hear him speak and to be baptized by him at the river. And literally, as I said, John's dumping them down into the water and raising them back up again. And as they rose from that water, they came into a new life clean. It was a ritual cleansing as much as anything. Eventually, as we read that story, Jesus himself appears and he goes down to the river to be baptized by John, just like all those other people had done. The important part of this story is that Jesus' baptism marks the point when Jesus passed from being kind of a private figure to becoming a public figure. In other words, it's a public declaration of what he's going to be doing and who he is. And you can hear that a little bit in the conversation between John and Jesus, because John thinks that Jesus should baptize him, because I'm just telling people about the Messiah. You are the Messiah. And Jesus says, no, 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 you have to baptize me. That brings everything full circle, because this is kind of my loosely worded graduation day, if you like. This is the day in which I'm coming forth into the crowds. Matthew's gospel relates that when Jesus comes down to the bank of the River Jordan, John was at first, as I said, reluctant to baptize him. John's baptism marked the forgiveness of sins, But when John sees Jesus, he realizes that this is the one of whom he had said, "I baptize you with water, but someone is coming who is much greater than I am. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He is much greater than I am, and I'm not good enough to even carry his sandals." And that's quoting from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is the one for whom John has been preparing the people, and yet Jesus allows himself to be baptized by the one who's doing the preparations, John. Usually we associate baptism with water, which is why some of what we've read in the Old Testament and the other readings that we had this morning are talking about water. The Psalm talks a lot about that. And renewal and power and God's presence are all found within the water and on the water. But John, in this particular instance, uses another image. He says, "Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire." And that's a prophecy that's fulfilled at Pentecost. We read about after the 50 days of Easter have gone by. The disciples suddenly felt the power of the Holy Spirit on them. Luke, in the Gospel, tells the story in his second volume in Acts, and he puts it this way. "When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly there was a noise from the sky which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the house where they were sitting. They saw what looked like tongues of fire which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them." Acts 2. Fire is another symbol of God and God's power throughout the Bible. Moses hears the voice of God from a burning bush. God descends in fire upon Mount Sinai to give Moses the Ten Commandments. Fire in the Old Testament represented the presence of God, but it also stood for a purging. God is sometimes described as like a refiner's fire, bringing purification, destroying what is unjust and wrong. And when we are baptized in Jesus' name, something of that holy fire of God comes upon us in our lives. For we who are Christians have all of us experienced some of God's Spirit within us at some point. We're all lit up by this fire of the Spirit at some point in time. And just as proud parents or grandparents can congratulate one another on the birth of children, grandchildren, or graduating students, so Jesus' words of affirmation from his Father, we hear those words again from what we read this morning. And Luke puts it this way, "You are my own dear son, I am pleased with you." That I love you, I'm pleased with you, what you've done, I'm proud of you, I love you. It sounds as if Jesus has passed with flying colors, making his heavenly parent very proud. However, Jesus prepared and trained for this moment. He's done it very well. It's not documented in the Gospels. And he's ready now to take on the task which his Father has sent him to do. His baptism is like his commissioning for his life's work. But here we are encountering another symbol in this Gospel reading. When the disciples encountered the Spirit of God at Pentecost, it was like a fire to them, like tongues of fire on each other's heads. But when Jesus receives the Spirit at his baptism, it's referred to as coming upon him like a dove. You know, there's really no parallel image in the Old Testament of this event taking place, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke all mention it in their accounts of Jesus' baptism. And so for us as Christians, the dove has become a rather lovely image of the Spirit. And we see that all the time on Christian symbols quite often as a dove. It may be that it has its roots, as I've mentioned before, in that early part of the Bible in Genesis, where there's an echoing in the Noah releasing the dove and it coming back with that olive branch in its mouth to let him know that there was dry land ahead and that God was no longer at war with humankind, that peace was now reigning. We may be baptized with fire, and it's good to be fired up in the Spirit, but the dove reminds us that the Spirit can also calm our souls. And I think this is a key point in this particular point, especially for these days. It's hard to look at the news, even the weather, and not get alarmed these days. It just seems that it's increasing somewhat. Many of you know our son is in Australia, and he's in Sydney, which is the southeast part of Australia that is literally burning to everything. And he's just told us that he's considering getting a job in the northwest corner of Australia. And his comment last night was, it's full of crocodiles because it's raining so much, it's flooding there, and crocodiles are going further inland and all this wetland that's now being created. So it's flooding and, you know, pushing people out of their homes in northwestern Australia, and it's burning to get all together in southeastern Australia. And that's just one place. We can continue to read things. It gets alarming. And we can get caught up in this whirlwind of news and events. I mean, we just heard about a plane that was shot down in the Middle East just this week, and all the tensions that are going on around that. It can seem like a lot of noise, a lot of fire, if you like. So this image of the dove, I think, is critical for us in this day in which we live. This day in which we live. I don't mean this time period. I'm talking about even this day. We need that peace that the dove represents. And I say it as well on a more local level. You know, I can look around this room and I know all of you very well. And I know the various things that are going on in your lives, the stuff that's going on in my own life. We need this dove, don't we? We need to pause for a moment and let this peace of God float down, if you like, in that symbol over us. Hecticness can overtake us, and the fear of what's going on outside and within our bounds can overwhelm us at times. Not just fear, it's just, I don't know, just the anxiety maybe, I suppose, that's involved. You know, when we think about Jesus' life, this was a lovely kickoff to the start of his life, but Jesus knew very well, even at this point, even though the people around him didn't necessarily, he knew what was coming. It wasn't going to be easy for Jesus. You know, we would like to know the future. I mean, we talk about that at times. We want to know what's going to come. Jesus actually knew his future and still faced it. Jesus knew that things weren't going to go so well through the course of his life on this earth. And he didn't shy away from that. He took it on. I don't know that we all could do that. If you knew your future meant that you were going to be ill or that you were going to lose your home or that someone in your life that very important to you was going to pass on and all the ache that was going to, it would be hard to kind of move forward in some respects. But Jesus did anyway. So it's good that he had that dove giving him that peace that he needed to move forward. And we too have that peaceful dove in our lives. And it's represented as we gather even today. As I mentioned earlier in the service, we're here as God's people. We're here as God's people to support and love each other no matter what we're going through. We're that dove, if you like, of peace and calmness and taking a breath for one another, no matter what we're experiencing. And that's important. And as I talk with some of you over these last few months in particular, one of the things that's been coming up repeatedly is the people that we, many of us know, who don't come to church, are not a part of this congregation or any congregation for that matter, who are missing something in their lives. If nothing else, just the connection with other people. And the peace that that brings about. Yes, I know there's always stuff going on and we're always, there's some little bicker going on here or there. That's normal connections with people. But ultimately, the overall is the peace that's there. And there are a lot of people in our community, if we stop for a moment and look around, there are a lot of people in our community, young and old alike, who have no other connection. They're on their own. And it's hard when you don't have this. And as I've said and we've said in conversation many times, one of the problems with the non-attendance to church has been that lack of connection. Because think back in the heyday, if you like, when church had baseball games and bowling games and dinners and socials, and there was a lot of connection points for people in their lives. Where are they getting that now? Many people just aren't. Other people compensate by doing other things, I suppose, but they're missing that piece that comes with this connection point here. And it's that dove, that like a dove coming down in our midst and saying, you know what, everything's going to be okay. Even if you did know what's coming up in the next little while, everything's going to be all right. God's peace is here. God loves us and has baptized us into that love. The moment we were all baptized, the moment we all came to Jesus in that sense, and continues to love us. He offers us a baptism of fire, that fire that we need to inspire us, but he also offers us that spirit of peace, that dove, the spirit of God which brought creation out of chaos, offers us that same peace in our turbulent lives, or lives that can often be turbulent. In the baptism, and we are all kind of rebaptized as we come before God, especially in the opening part of our service when we're confessing and thinking about the Lord. God calls each of us by name and offers us the joy and challenges of being followers of Jesus Christ. And that's who we are. We're not just religious people. We're not just people who do something just because we have to. We are here because Jesus has called us and gives us the peace that we need, like a dove can bring. Amen. God gives us so much, and this is the moment in which we give back to God. We respond in faith, and we present our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the blessings in our lives and the ability to be able to return those blessings in the form of this offering. Bless this offering to the work of your gospel in this community and in the lives of the people here in this congregation. Let it bring about the light, the love, the fire, and the peace that's needed in each of the lives that it will be used for. And we pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We have flowers to my left, been placed today by Dorothy Dickinson and family in loving memory of husband and father Gordon Dickinson. And I'm glad that picture's there. It's a lovely picture of Gordon. If you have never seen Gord or you do know Gord from the past, that's a big chance and take a look at that photo. It's a good one to remind us. So thank you for bringing that today, Dorothy and Bob, too. We have a pink rose on our communion table, or a rose with a pink ribbon on it, to celebrate another birth of a baby girl, Hadley Mary Connor, who was born on December 29, 3 days after our granddaughter was born. I didn't realize that was happening, and I knew it was coming, but I didn't realize the date. So it's Lauren and Mike Connor. Hadley is the granddaughter of Ann Bowen. Put your hand up, Ann, so we can see. There's Ann. And congratulations on that. It's lovely. We want to remember in our prayers today Beryl Gorey, who's in the hospital. She's got ongoing issues. And Corrine Young, I mentioned last week, that had fallen and got stitches in her head and did some damage to her collarbone. She's been in this week, had a bit of surgery, and she's back home now. But we want to remember them in particular. And I know that we all have folks on our hearts, and we want to, as we continue in our response of faith, this is this time in which we respond and bring people to the Lord. I can't say enough, folks. This is probably the highlight of the service for me personally when I hear these names coming out, because this is a real act of love and faith on your part, and you've responded well to this, and it's an act of faith on our part to be putting these names out and tugging God's ear to touch their lives and heal them. You know what's going on in their lives. God knows all the details. So whether you say that name out loud or just in your heart quietly, God listens and is acting. And I'm hearing the stories coming back of people's lives being changed because of what we're doing here. This is mission work, in that sense, praying for others. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you for this part of our service that we participate from week to week in. This is this response to what you're moving in our lives, what you're opening up in our hearts. And it's a simple, simple thing in that sense, just to say somebody's name out loud. But it's a life-changing event. There are so many folks. Again, week to week we say this, Lord, but there are so many folks in so much need. Some of it's very small, minor things. It could be whatever, just something small. But in other cases, it's a life-changing event. Like, if this doesn't happen, wow. But just like Jesus in his life had an awareness of what was coming and even what was coming beyond that, that's what we're hoping for, Lord, that in these issues that may be happening in folks' lives, whether they're health, physical health, or emotional or spiritual needs, and they may be tumultuous in so many ways, there is another side to that, because you love us. You love us with an everlasting, unending love, and you want that healing in our lives. So, Lord, as we come before you from week to week and this particular day, and we offer names out loud or in our hearts, we're trusting you. We're trusting that you are who you say you are and that you will do what you say you'll do. So we're praying for a healing. We're praying for an intervention. We're praying for your love actively in the lives of these names. And Lord, right now we offer these names to you. Lord, thank you for these names. Thank you for the act of faith from each of the individuals in this place today that have offered a name quietly and out loud. Some of the names we just can't even say out loud. But you know who they are, Lord. And you know the need and the desperation that may be in that life. And the lives connected to them, and the lives connected to them, and the lives connected to them. There's so much going on in our world. We could be here for hours listing all the things that need prayer, Lord. So we just put them in our hearts and minds and lift them up to you and trust you with them, because you love us with an unending love and a peace that passes all understanding. Wow. Thank you, Lord. We pray all of this and offer all of this up in somebody's name that is very important, and somebody's name that has all the power to make the difference, and that is Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, we're ready to head forth, as our order of service says. We're going forth in God, and the song is exactly that. We're going to go forth in Thy name, O Lord, and do Your work. Number 652, forth in Thy name, O Lord, I go. That dove of peace is the promise that we have this week. And that dove of peace is coming upon us, but also we're to bring it about to everyone else. So this week, be peaceful and bring peace into the world in which we all live, that you live, and the people that you know. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you His peace in your going out and your coming in, your lying down and your rising up. In your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until we all come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.